welcome back to the Deadology Podcast from Pencil Hill Studio, New Paltz, New York. I'm your host, Howard Weiner, and this is Season 2, Episode 38 of the podcast. Today we're going to go back in time for some Jerry Garcia Band shows, 1981, November 10th, to be specific, from the Palladium in New York City. And I was going to record this. Today is Saturday the 16th, and I was going to record this Thursday night. I had listened to the shows on their anniversary date, great early and late shows, and Thursday morning I get a call from my friend Scott. He's like, hey, you're going to the Melvin show tonight. And I had totally forgotten that Melvin Seals was playing pretty close to me. About 35 minutes away in Woodstock at the Bearsville Theater. So I put the podcast on hold and went to see Melvin Seals and JGB. And a great decision, man. It's such a hot band. The tickets are inexpensive, small theaters. It's, you know, it's just such a great value for the money. So I was pretty psyched to go see Melvin. And it was all pretty cyclical because obviously I'm going to do the Jerry Garcia Band shows that night, and 1981 was Melvin's first year with the Jerry Garcia Band, and he just, since we both started our Garcia Band journeys at the same time, because my first four Jerry Garcia Band shows were two at the Capitol and two at the Palladium on November 6th and November 10th of 1981. So me and Melvin started our journeys with Jerry Garcia at about the same time. Except he had a much up close and personal journey than mine, but pretty amazing that it all came around. It all rolls into one. That I was seeing Melvin on Thursday night, and it was an awesome show. It started off a little, first couple songs were a little slow, but then I think Tore Up was the turning point. They did Tore Up Over You, a fourth song, and the show just took off. It was incredible. Johnny Kay was great on guitar. One of the big highlights was Like a Road. They did such an amazing version of that. Melvin did some singing on That's What Love Will Make You Do, Deal, all kinds of great tunes, two sets. And this Bearsville Theater, man, it's one of the nicest small venues I've ever been in. So the show starts, and we're able to walk right up to the stage. And I could have grabbed Melvin's ankles. I was like that close. It's one of those places where the stage and the audience is almost no separation. So it was a very cool experience. But I moved back. It was a much better view getting it from a little bit of a distance. And yeah, very memorable night. I'm sure a lot of you have been to the Bearsville Theater, but that one of the nicest venues, man. I'm going to be going back for plenty more shows. It's so close to me, 35 minutes away in Woodstock. And the whole Melvin Seals, I don't understand how so few people go to see them. You know, there was probably under 1,000. Yeah, definitely under 1,000. My guesstimate would be about 500-600 people were there, and it was very comfortable, incredible music. I just don't get how it's still so, you know, compared to like Dead in the Company or even like when Phil and Friends, you know, Melvin's been out there doing it since. He never stopped since 1981. I'm not sure if he actually ever took a year off, but I know ever since Jerry passed away in 95, you know, he started in with Melvin Seals and JGB and kept going. You know, it's just something that gets in your blood and your DNA. Everybody from the Dead continues on playing Dead songs with different configurations. It's like you can't escape that world of the Grateful Dead music, and it all kind of centers around one man, Jerry Garcia. You know, whether it's the Garcia Band or the Grateful Dead, that guy was the nucleus of it all, and it's still thriving many years after he's no longer with us. But yeah, great night at Bearsville Theater. And now let's get on with the Palladium, man. November 10th, 1981, early and late show. And first, let me do a little lead up. These were my first Jerry Garcia Band shows. I saw him at the Capitol Theater November 6th. And saw the early and late show that night. Don't remember much because I was there with a friend. We took some Quaaludes. Man, these things were incredible. They would these Quaaludes could have knocked out an elephant. You know, these were like Wolf of Wall Street type Quaaludes, if you remember that scene from the movie. But yeah, so we were much more wasted than we expected to be after taking a Quaalude. And when my friend goes to me, he's like, I got to get out of here. Man, I got to go home. It was after the early show. And I said, okay, buddy, I understand. I'm staying here. And I'm not sure which one of us took more of a risk with their lives. Now, how he made it home alive driving, I don't know, man. The many miracles going on in the 80s with people driving drunk and on different things. But also, I was pretty much taking my life into my own hands. And if you know anything about Passaic, New Jersey, and the Capitol Theater in 1981, it was one of the worst, you know, just neighborhoods that a theater could be in. Maybe that I think that's probably why eventually John Cher had to close it down. But just a terrible neighborhood, man. You know, not definitely, you know, you don't want to roam more than a block away from the Capitol Theater. Very dangerous. So there I am. I just turned 18 two days earlier. I had no idea I was getting a ride home, but I was not leaving. I was in for the late show. And one of my friends who I've had on the podcast, Perry Paletta, was there. He saved me. I ran into him. I had no idea who I was going to run into because, once again, I'm at the beginning of my Grateful Dead journey here. I don't know as many people as I would know in a year or two. But luckily, I ran into him, and I was able to enjoy the late show. And, yeah, the Quaalude definitely killed my memory. I don't have much of a memory from that night except the mission in the rain. This song was so freaking hot that night. I was in the Capitol Theater just howling away. I'd rate this the second best Mission in the Rain. It's available on my Positively Garcia page. And I really think if you listen to this and you hear some guy howling in the background, that's me. I was just standing there going nuts. Incredible Mission in the Rain. The other great ones from Albany. I think that's my favorite, two nights earlier on November 4th. But Jerry Garcia and Mission in the Rain in 1981, just, man, he went off on that song. That was the sweet spot for Mission in the Rain. So a couple days later, going to the Palladium. And as far as Garcia and the Palladium, the Grateful Dead did a 7-show run there in 1972, right before the Europe 72 tour. Pretty cool. You know, a lot of those are on Dick's Picks, etc. And then... so you got it was called the Academy of Music, and then the name changed to the Palladium. The Grateful Dead played there again in 1977, a 5-show run from April 29th to May 4th. Some very cool shows in that run. My favorites from that run are April 29th and the last one, May 4th, right before they hit that just one of the greatest runs of all time. New Haven, Boston, Cornell, Buffalo, that whole month of May, just the Dead on top of their game. And my first show in the Palladium was pretty incredible. I saw Van Halen there in 1979. And right before I got into the Grateful Dead, I was hot for Van Halen, man. Those first two albums I loved. And right when the second one came out, they played the Palladium. And me and my friends had second row tickets, man. That was the best rock and roll experience I ever had until I ran into this whole Jerry Garcia Grateful Dead thing. So my return to the Palladium, November 10th, 1981, I believe I took a bus down. Hard to remember exactly how I got down there. I think it was a bus from like the Nanuet Mall. So we get down there and, my friend Bob Hester was with me. I think Bob's listens to the podcast. So I'll notify him about this one. So we're there for the early show. We take a hit of Blotter Acid. These early days were experimental for me. Quaaludes you couldn't get after 1981. They pretty much were taken off the market because the only use for them was fun. There was really no medical use for Quaaludes. And then the acid, man, Blotter Acid. I didn't do much acid. I stopped in 82. But yeah, what a unique experience this was. We definitely got pretty high on that acid, went into the early show. Amazing place, the Palladium. I only have those two show memories of it. But yeah, definitely one of my all-time favorite venues going into. This would be the last show I saw there, last time Jerry played in there. And So the show starts off, how sweet it is, Catfish John, good versions. At this time, I didn't have the as many Jerry Garcia Band tapes, so I wouldn't call myself a Garcia Band expert. I had a couple tapes at this time. So some of this stuff isn't right away recognizable to me. So just to quickly go over who's in the band in 1981, obviously Khan on bass, Melvin keyboards, Jimmy Warren was there too. They had a second keyboard for during 1981 for much of the year. Ron Tutt on drums. He also played with Elvis Presley. Backing vocals, Liz Stires and Julie Stafford. I liked them a lot. I think they were my favorite tandem of female backing singers that Jerry ever had. They just sounded great. So third song, Sitting Here in Limbo. And I'm out there with me and Bob, and I'm smoking cigarettes. The acid's kicking in. And sitting here, I wasn't familiar with the tune, and it's going pretty slow. It seemed the song was like probably like 10 minutes long. It seemed like it was 3 hours. The acid's kicking in. I'm like, my God, play something upbeat, please. You know, whereas if I was a little more experienced with the Jerry Garcia Band, I would have been digging it. And then Jerry answered the call with "I'm a Roadrunner, Baby." And man, he blew our minds with this version. You know, so like the acid's kicking in, and just these jams were like perfect to be on acid for. It was incredible. I got out of my seat. I was like, this is the magical, godlike experience I was looking for. Definitely one of the best things I've ever done on acid. Hearing a couple tunes from this early show, when that acid was kicking in, this Roadrunner jam is the hottest one Jerry Garcia Band ever played. This is also up on my Positively Garcia YouTube page. I'm going to play a bit of it for you right now, as is the That's What Love Will Make You Do, which I'm going to get to in a little bit, some of the other tunes I talk about here, but just classic stuff. So check out how hot this is. I'm a Roadrunner, Baby, fourth song, early show, November 10th, 81, The Palladium. Thank you. Jerry Garcia Band getting the New York City crowd pumped in the early show. Roadrunner is the fourth song. And like I said, I think that's my favorite version of all time. The one from Albany from November 4th is also pretty awesome right up there. So after getting me all fired up that day, I'm like, this is great. I'm so happy I'm on acid. And then he played Simple Twist of Fate, which I wasn't familiar with at the time. It was probably about a 13, 14-minute version, and it was kind of like water torture being on acid after hearing that Roadrunner. Obviously, I came to love Simple Twist of Fate and all the slow tunes that Jerry did. But wow, just after getting all pumped up and, you know, just the chemistry in my body from that Roadrunner, got me totally fired up. And then I had to endure what seemed like an eternity for Simple Twist of Fate. It seemed like the song was never going to end. I'm smoking cigarettes. I'm like, this is crazy. And I was slightly hallucinating. You know, it wasn't like serious hallucinations, but it seemed like the place was melting around me, kind of, and there was a gleam to the regal interior. So, yeah, it was a pretty crazy experience. And then this show was like fastballs and change-ups, you know, like Garcia was dealing, you know, it was either a fastball or a change-up, like the Simple Twist of Fate and Sitting Here in Limbo. And then when they finished Simple Twist of Fate, Garcia brought me right to my feet with a piercing, shrieking lead right into That's What Love Will Make You Do. And they were on a mission with these versions of Roadrunner and That's What Love Will Make You Do. This is also one of the top That's What Love Will Make You Do's. I think the Roseland one from 1983 is probably the best ever, but this one would be pretty close to being contention right behind it. Awesome, especially the first part of the instrumental. Garcia goes off on that. So let's get to some more audio highlights. This is That's What Love Will Make You Do.
Love will make you do.
Jerry Garcia and Fuego for New York City. One of the cool things that I really like about that version is the audience is kind of roaring and their intensity is building as they're reacting to Garcia as the jam accelerates. Pretty cool. You usually don't hear that. The crowd's like excited early on in that jam, and they get louder and louder and more excited as Garcia increases. They're like almost mimicking and matching the intensity of Garcia's playing. Very cool. That's What Love Will Make You Do, one of the best ones you'll hear. And that was like the early part of the instrumental. They go to Melvin's part where they get a little kind of reggae-ish shuffle in the middle. And then Garcia finishes it off. Last song of the set, that was the sixth song, the seventh song of the early show, Deal. And that was right in my wheel, right. That was exactly what I was looking for, man. Like another upbeat song, very hot Deal. For 1981, the Deals would get longer, especially as you hit 1983, where you get for 83 through, I'd say, about 90 or so, you get most of the best jamming and Deals. But still, like a very hot, upbeat way to finish off the set. Not particularly long, but the two versions of Alone by themselves, The Roadrunner and That's What Love Will Make You Do, make it a great set, definitely worth seeking out. And I have, as I mentioned, I have both those versions up on the Positively Garcia YouTube page. And pretty much we think the show's over, man. Me and Bob are there feeling the acid pretty good. Can't wait to get outside. Just something about being outside. And now it was kind of like triumphant. So we're kind of leaving the Palladium. We wanted to beat everybody outside. So we made a quick dash out at the end of Deal. Then all of a sudden we hear something and we hear a roar. And obviously we should have figured Garcia would have came out for an encore, but sometimes Garcia band didn't. But he comes out for an encore, and we hear the beginning of Sugaree, and we're almost out the door. We're like, oh my God, we went charging in like the two happiest people in the world, man. We couldn't believe Garcia. Not only was he doing an encore, but he was doing Sugaree. This was like such an incredible experience. You know, everything you could. From one end of the spectrum to the other on an acid trip, and it just when it's really hitting you and you're peaking, went back in, went nuts during that Sugaree. It was only 10 minutes. That's something we would love to see longer, but the Sugaree as an encore, you're not getting more than 10 minutes. They did it in Albany about a week earlier. It was rare as a Garcia band encore, but they did it a couple times in this time period. And it's a great encore to catch, man. And Garcia shreds this. It's only about 10 minutes, but very hot Sugaree to make it an even more exciting, more memorable early show. And now it's time for the late show. Outside, now I'm hit a point where I've kind of settled in the trip and everything's good. And we met two young ladies there, some pretty girls we knew from Rockland County. And they were hanging out with us for the late show. We had really good seats for the late show. I can't remember who bought the tickets, how it all came about, but it was. And we come back in for the late show. And the unusual thing, like these shows, they were kind of so different, man. It was like this, the early show was either extremely relaxed, went from extremely relaxed to super intense at the flip of a switch. And the late show was much more diversity. Maybe not as hot as the highest points of the early show, but just another great show, two sets. And in one evening with Jerry Garcia band, you're not going to get more diversity, more cool stuff than we saw on this night. Great, great late show. Starts off, I think the hottest thing Garcia did, his hottest playing of this entire late show, might have been the very first song, The Way You Do the Things You Do. I'm pretty sure that was done by The Temptations. I've heard it 100 times on Smoky Soul Town, my new favorite radio station on the Sirius XM dial. I listen to that all the time. A great classic Motown tune. It's so enjoyable to listen to. And to hear Garcia do it, man, I don't know if Garcia does any of those soul songs better than this. It was pretty rare. You caught it, in these years a few times. Was never overplayed, and eventually I think he stopped playing it altogether. If I'm correct on that, I can't remember the last time he played that. The Way You Do the Things You Do, but definitely one of my favorite tunes to catch right up there with Second That Emotion, which they played a little more, another great Motown tune. But I do believe this is the hottest jam ever in the way you do the things you do. And of course, New York City's on top of it. They go nuts as Garcia's kicking along here. So hey, man, let's get back to the audio highlights. Another few minutes of get the whole way you do the things you do jam in here. Enjoy. Awesome way you do the things you do there. New York City digging it. And this is like such a trademark New York City crowd. They're on top of everything. Every time Jerry's going off, they're right there with him, soaking in and inspiring Garcia to take it up a step. And yeah, way you do the things you do. And another great version, which I had the good fortune of seeing, Stony Brook. It was December 9th, 83. That Stony Brook show had some really good stuff, man. That's one worth checking out. And that was the, I think that was the only other time I saw Garcia Band play The Way You Do the Things You Do. Moving on, this is The Late Show, song 2, They Love Each Other. Pretty cool version. It would be a couple of years, I think around, really it was 1983, where Melvin and Jerry took this to another level. Like, Love Each Other wasn't Love Each Other. It was like a, it wasn't just another song. It was a great song. You know, they did some great versions in the Roseland. And Melvin just really added that funky feel to it. So yeah, and also Melvin's really making himself heard as 81 rolls along. Some, it's weird, some shows you hear Jimmy Warren on the tapes for whatever reason. This is one where you don't hear much. But definitely Melvin is definitely sees the role as the main organ, you know, as the organ player, main keyboard guy here. Definitely Garcia loved what he heard from him, and they wouldn't be able to do without each other the rest of the way. Garcia, Seals, and Khan. Third song, Knocking on Heaven's Door. And yeah, it's interesting when you think of like a Dylan song, you might hear on the radio, whatever radio station you're listening to, like a Rolling Stone, Knocking on Heaven's Door might be the two most played Dylan songs that you hear on radio. It's always been odd to me because the Knocking on Heaven's Door from Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, that original studio, it's pretty cool, but it's only like almost like a sketch of what Knocking on Heaven's Door would and could be. Dylan did so many better versions throughout the years, and so many different arrangements, man. He's just brilliant with Knocking on Heaven's Door. And even Garcia did two different types of versions. He did the one here with the Garcia Band. I like the one better he did with the Grateful Dead in the 80s when he would sing Knocking on Heaven's Door as the encore. It was more poignant. This Knocking on Heaven's Door and the ones that he played from this period, I like them, but they weren't like top-notch, desired Jerry Garcia Band songs to see. It was kind of like a soft reggae feel to it. It may have overstayed its welcome a little bit. On this version, though, I like Garcia's guitar playing a lot. Like when it slows down, and then Garcia just comes in with these quick picking runs. This is a pretty cool version, but I definitely prefer the Grateful Dead version and most Bob Dylan versions. Not one of the top-notch Garcia Band songs, but still a pleasure to listen to. And this is a good version. The fourth and final song of this second of the Late Show is Mystery Train. This one got the crowd up and fired pretty hot. But what happened here after Way You Do the Things You Do, it just seems like Garcia was more focused on playing the songs, singing them. There's not that many spectacular jams as we roll along here with The Late Show. Even though it's an awesome show, it's just the way the songs are lined up and the way Jerry's singing, it's priceless. This is definitely, this Late Show is worth checking out. So Mystery Train, and then he takes a break. That's kind of short for a, when they do two sets, usually there might be another song or might be a little longer. A little short, maybe Garcia was a little tired. It's like 1981, that guy played, man. Like, between going from Dead to Garcia, it's a ridiculous year. We did Europe twice and East, West Coast, all over the place. All these Garcia Band shows in between the Dead shows. Just Jerry was a maniac in 1981, all over the world and back again. I guess every now and then fatigue did have to find its way in there a little bit. Set 2 opens with the beautiful I'll Take a Melody. I'll take a simple C to G and feel brand new about it. And then that's basically Garcia's life philosophy. Just that ability to take these, find the great song and put the magnifying glass to it, and put it under the microscope, man, and just expand it because he loved it so much. He never wanted the song to end. And that's kind of like I'll Take a Melody is like his mission statement in life as far as a musician. Great opener for the second set, and then they go into like very desirable. You couldn't ask for a better finish song wise. Don't Let Go. And when I listened to this again, I almost forgot that they played Don't Let Go that night. one of the reasons it's not a super long Don't Let Go, not a version like, say, at the Roseland or Cape Cod from 83 or Music Mountain. It's really good, but it's just not as majestic and long as those versions. But once again, Garcia singing good, great song selection. Don't Let Go in the second spot. And then the third song, this is Night They Drove Old Dixie Down. Just another unbelievable singing performance from Jerry. Such a 81 and 82, I think, were his best years vocally. He hit a point where he was just a master up there singing. And this Dixie Down just hits the spot, man. Gets me every time I listen to it. And, once again, there's a version from Albany a few days earlier. Incredible. The Music Mountain one. Man, just what Garcia did with Night They Drove Old Dixie Down. Beautiful, man. Just whoever thought, you could take a song like Dixie, like Joan Baez played it. And I do think that's a pretty cool version, that cover of the song. Obviously the band version with Levon's spectacular. But what Garcia took it into a whole different realm, just making it this dirge and this mournful, brilliant song, inspiring. And then they go into Dear Prudence. And what I want to play for you now, I want to do a little, the end of Dixie Down into Prudence, just the way these songs go together and how great Jerry was singing. It's perfect, man. So let's check it out. The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down into Dear Prudence. And this Prudence, once again, John Lennon was just shot at the Dakota. Less than a year. It was almost a full year had passed. So just think of the emotional grip that this had playing this in New York City. So here we go. The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down into Dear Prudence. Yeah.
sun is gone.
Jerry Garcia Band facilitating awesome musical, dramatic musical theater for New York City in the Palladium. And I was just thinking about it as I was listening to it. How many people in the audience knew Garcia Band played Dear Prudence at that point? First time they broke it out was 79, I think, with Reconstruction. Played it in 1980 a bunch of times. I only had one tape, so I did know that the Garcia Band played Dear Prudence, but I'd imagine that it must have been a surprise for a lot of people there to hear that, and eventually became one of the undoubtable, unshakable staples of the Jerry Garcia Band repertoire, Dear Prudence. And the reason I played that, besides the beauty of Garcia's singing and the attention that the band puts into the song arrangement there, the guitar jam is not that great of the Prudence. I think, once again, as I mentioned earlier, Garcia seemed to run out of a little steam when it came to the instrumentals in this late show. I mean, it's good. You listen to it, it's obviously good, but definitely not up there as a hot Dear Prudence if we're looking just strictly at the instrumental. So that's why I decided just to focus on the Dixie into Prudence and just the beauty of the way they played the songs those nights. And then one more desirable crowd pleaser to close it out, which also is a relatively new addition to the Garcia Band. Been in there a few years. Tangled Up in Blue, man, a little Bob Dylan to close out. And it doesn't get much better than that. I'll Take a Melody, Don't Let Go, Night They Drove Dixie Down, Dear Prudence, Tangled Up in Blue. And there was no encore on this night. Once again, not unusual for a Garcia Band show, especially when it's two sets. So on a two-set show, you were lucky if you caught an encore. You know, that was a sign that Garcia didn't want to go anywhere for sure. Usually in the early show, if it's only one set, you caught the encore. That was almost a definite. But yeah, a awesome show, great early show, great late show. And this is a very cool Tangled Up in Blue. That's going to be the last musical highlight. I'm going to play that as the outro. I just wanted to mention, next week I'm going to have Doug Schmel back. I'm going to give him a call. We're going to discuss which show we want. There's a couple of great shows. As you know, with Doug, it's going to be between 72 and 74. That's his, that he listens to that stuff nonstop, man. He's a true expert. Not that he was there, but he just loves the stuff and has been listening to it nonstop those 3 years. So I'll just kick it around with him, see what show we're going to do, but we're definitely going to do one from that period. And once again, hey, I'm your host, Howard Weiner. Thanks for listening. Website, tangledupintunes.com. And got a bunch of great stuff lined up as we roll into December, past Thanksgiving. But this Tangled Up in Blue, man, I would hang in. Check out this instrumental. Very cool instrumental to close it out, but especially the ending. There's like an extended, very unusual ending to this Tangled Up in Blue, which I'm sure you want to hear. Enjoy. Hey, once again, thanks for listening. Catch you next week. Peace out.